I want to think a little bit about what happens when we pray and when we're in situations in life. In Zechariah chapter 3, we have a vision that gives us a bit of a window onto what's actually going on in heaven. Well, he sees a vision, verse 1 of Zechariah 3, and he sees Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. So up there in heaven, the situation on earth was played out. What was happening at that time was that there had been opposition to rebuilding the temple, and Satan means an adversary. And those people, whoever they were, for the moment we'll just say whoever they were, people on earth who were against the rebuilding of the temple, had a representative in heaven, and that representative was an angel. Now, I don't believe that there are good angels and bad angels. I don't believe that there's angels that sin and angels that don't. All the angels are all obedient to God. And if you have a look at my stuff at realdevil.info, that's realdevil.info, you'll see some reasons why I think that. But let's take it from me for the moment. This Satan, then, is an angel who is acting the role of an adversary. Now, when you think of Balaam, the story of Balaam, the angel of Yahweh stood in the way as a Satan, as an adversary to him. Doesn't mean the angel was bad, wicked, sinful, or anything like that. He played the role of an adversary to try to stop Balaam going headlong in the wrong way. And here, then, in the court of heaven, as it were, in the heavenly throne room, the opposition to the rebuilding of Jerusalem is represented by an angel that is called the Satan, the adversary. Well, what that means, just the simple takeaway straight away, is that all our little dramas here on earth, they are big dramas to us, but maybe in the eternal scheme of things they are not so huge, but for us they're very big. Those dramas are played out, as it were, acted out in the court of heaven. There are representatives for yourself, for those who are against you, for those who are involved in the situation. And that should sober us up, because you do not want to be in a position where God is your enemy. You do not want to have to turn around at the end like Saul, King Saul did, and say, no, God has turned to be my enemy. The thing is, situations on earth are not ignored by God. They are considered by God in heaven before his angels. And you may think, oh, but I'm too insignificant. Why would God worry about the argument I have with the next door neighbor, or with my husband, with my child, with my, you know, my mother who's got Alzheimer's, or with, you know, with whatever? Why would God sort of pay particular attention? Well, because to him, human behavior and human thought is critically important. He loves us and is very involved in our lives. Well, this Satan standing at the right hand to be an adversary to the rebuilding of the temple. There was a period of 21 years when the rebuilding of the temple was suspended. You can read about it in Ezra chapter 4. And I think you have here that being played out in heaven, as it were. Well, thinking about 21 years, there's a similar sort of situation in Daniel chapter 10. When Daniel prays to God for the rebuilding of Jerusalem to happen, and it says that he prays for 21 days. And then an angel comes to him and says, Daniel, from the first day that you prayed, I heard your prayer, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia resisted me, was adversarial to me for 21 days, for 3 weeks. So the idea was that, well, you prayed, and yeah, I agreed to give the answer first time you prayed, but it took time to work out. That is how Daniel was asked to understand it. And you think, well, why? Can't God, like, answer immediately? Well, of course God can, and at times God does answer immediately, as I'm sure we've all seen in the course of our lives. But in other matters, God is not going to answer in a way that requires him to simply pull pull strings on earth and treat people like puppets and be a manipulator and ride roughshod over human free will. This is not how he works. He does act. We are not just stranded without any divine help. But on the other hand, God is not a manipulator, and he deeply respects human beings and respects our free will decisions, even when he doesn't agree with them. He encourages people in certain ways. An evil spirit from the Lord led Saul down the downward spiral. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh because Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And he gives more positively the Holy Spirit to confirm spiritual people in the path of holiness that they wish to take. And so I think what happened was that, yep, the kingdom of Persia had a prince over it who was not immediately persuadable of God's plan, but it took some time for God to persuade him, for God to encourage him, and yes, he took some free will decisions that enabled God to continue doing that. And yet there was resistance. And here, in this vision here, in a different context, it's a bit later than the time of Daniel, but you have a 21-year period. Perhaps based on that incident in Daniel, so that we get the connection, as it were, a day for a year. And I think the idea is that, sure, God can do anything, but he does not blockbuster his way through. He doesn't bludgeon his way in human history and with human hearts and with the movement of nations and so forth. He seeks to confirm people in the free will decisions that they take. So, there were, Ezra 4 says, adversaries of Judah. And the word Satan means adversary. And there were the people of the land weakening the hands of the people of Judah, troubling them in building. And they wrote an accusation, Ezra 4 verse 6, against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem to the king of Persia. And again, the Hebrew word for accusation is related to the word translated Satan. And the word devil means a false accuser. So, these various sources of opposition are all represented before God. And then, verse 2 of Zechariah 3, Yahweh said to Satan, Yahweh, rebuke you, Satan. Yahweh, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. So, what are the takeaways for us? Well, as I said at the start, our dramas on earth are played out before the court of heaven. God is not unaware, and God carefully balances situations. And David asks God to search his heart. There is a balancing and a weighing up of human situations. There's a lot of Bible evidence that this is how God looks. He does not just make automatic responses. There is more going on behind the scenes than we realize. Beyond the apparent silence of God, there is huge activity going on, and God carefully balancing and weighing things up. And I think you also have an insight here into why prayer is not answered immediately, particularly from the incident there in Daniel 10, that God does not bludgeon his way through. God does not force his way upon people. And he seeks to always work through human agency according to free will of those people. You may say, but that means he's delaying his reply to me. Well, yeah, don't think that God can't reply immediately. He does, and has done many times. But in other ways and other matters, he will not do so because it's not that he needs time. It's that he works with people to bring about answers in a way that is appropriate for how God deals with people. And as I say, God is not a manipulator. Man is not a puppet that is just on a string that God pulls, and he pulls the strings in a certain way for his friends kind of thing. No, that would be, I suppose, unethical, really. That would be really dehumanizing people to treat them like that, and that is not how God works. You cannot see the final equation. you cannot see the huge equilibrium in all this. That is beyond us to perceive, but I think we are to believe that it is truly there.